are some phases zero that I'm not talking about.
Which you'll have to meet everybody also. Guys who I should know, I know. But and also just to welcome some of the people from the community. Well, although not everybody's from, you're from the community. But you're from Kew Garden Hills, so that's a long... What? Oh, okay. So we welcome the people from Hillcrest and from Queens and from anywhere else. And does anybody know how to work this thing? Do you know how to work this one? Should we have a backup or...? Okay. Yeah, there's something to... I know we've tried this on Monday nights. It doesn't always go, right? Yeah, if you know how to, if you could try. Okay. So the question has been raised about having something in Hashkafa once a week also, which I think is a very good idea. Today I'm actually running to something, but we'll try from now on in one of the two shiurim to have either before or after some inyane Hashkafa as well. Okay. The limud is going to be in the eighth parak of Bechoros, which is a parak devoted mostly to Pidgin HaBen, but really almost just a little bit more Pidgin HaBen than Bechor LaNachla. The first topic is going to start with Bechor LaNachla. That's what we're going to be introducing today. And I just have some Bar Makomos for the next time. Let me just give them to you very, very quickly before we begin. Bava Basra Kukhav Zayin Amad Aleph is on Yerushas Bechor. Bava Basra Kukhav Zayin Amad Aleph, the Mishnah there, Homer Ish Ploni Bni Bechor. And the Gemara, you'll see if you already did some of the Dapim here in Bechor, so we left as the first Mar Makomos, you'll see the overlap. And the Gemara, beginning Lema Mas Nisan until Kamachil, the Rajbam and the Rajba there, and the Orzarua, Perakhes Simin Tzadi. That's on Kuf Kav Zayin. Then the Gemara on Kuf Mem Beis Amad Beis, Ben Shinol V'Achar Misas Aviv, and still V'Halei Sadi Yakir. It's actually a Gemara that is quoted by Tosas here, which we'll get to in a minute. The third Gemara Mokom is Bava Basra Kuf Kav Zayin Amad Aleph, Omrav Ami Tumtum Shenikra V'Nimtza Zachar, until Bishas Leda. And the Gemara also there, Tanya Kavased Rav Ami, Ben V'Lo Tumtum, until Ein Kosvin Harsha Zelazeh, which we'll get to. Also, it's related to a Gemara here. In addition to that, the Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvos, I'll make reference to it in a minute anyway, the Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvos, Hashmatos Lalav in Mitzvah Yud Beis, and his Perush Al HaTorah in the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze, Pasuk Tez Zayin. Of course, we already had the Mishnah Bechoros here, Nun Aleph Amad Beis, Tu Nun Beis Amad Aleph, but connect that also with the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Chav Hei Amad Beis, to Kuf Kavava Medalev, Amrav Papa Hilkasa Ein Abal, Loto Beroy Kibamuksak, until Pligi, and Tosis there Dibramasal Ein HaBachar, and either the Rimigash or Ama on that Gemara, and on the Gemara of Milva Sheimo Pligi, or Palgi, to Girsaos, the Rajbam and Rabbeinu Gershom. Yeah. Okay, actually, maybe we'll do that. Just let me just give you the last one already. But you know, you're so scientific. Always, and then Yesh Bechor Kodem Lechaluka, which is also Bava Basra Kuf Kavav Medeis, the Rajbam Divar Matzal VeHilchasa and Tosas there as well. Okay, now let's now we'll begin. So that's for Thursday, and that might push us a little bit into Tuesday. The basic plan is to start with, again, there are two major topics in the parak, and I want to really cover most of the topics in the parak, if possible. It's not that big a parak, it's about 7 dapim. So basically there are two topics. The main topic is Pidgin HaBen, and that's what it's doing here in Bechoros. But as we see already from the first Mishnah, the Mishnah compares and contrasts Bechor LaNachala and Bechor LaPidgin HaBen. So we're going to start with the smaller topic, Bechor LaNachala. It's also the first topic in the Gemara. So that's the what I told you to look at in advance was the Gemara's on Mem Vav Amud Aleph through Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and the last part of the parak also from Nun Aleph Amud Beis to Nun Beis Amud Beis. So we're going to begin with that. Okay. If you look at the Mishnah here, the Mishnah Mem Vav Amud Aleph, so we're immediately struck by the structure of it. Yesh Bechor LaNachla Ve'ena Bechor LaKohen, Bechor LaKohen, Ve'ena Bechor LaNachala, Bechor LaNachala, Vila Kohen, V'yesh Ena Bechor, Lo LaNachala, v'lo l'kohen. Okay, so we have four different permutations in the concept of b'chor, a b'chor common to both dinim, where neither halacha applies, and then of course the more interesting cases where we have a discrepancy between b'chor l'nachla on the one hand and b'chor l'pidgin haben, or l'kohen as it's called here, on the other. So the Mishnah basically serves to compare, to overlap, and to contrast. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos has a comment in which he says that it's pretty obvious that the cases which are Bechor, Linachala, and Lekoein, they don't really add any quality to our analysis. They're all pretty obvious cases, and the Mishnah really didn't need to discuss them at all, except that since the Mishnah is discussing the other three permutations, so you might as well also speak about the Yesh LeBechor, Yesh Bechor LeNachala Ulekoi. But I'd like to suggest that while undoubtedly that could be true, Rambam says it, that maybe there's another approach as well, and that is that there is some significance to the grouping together of the definition of Bechor, even when it's obvious, even when they overlap, because there's a chiddush in this Mishnah, an implicit chiddush in this Mishnah, and that is the very treatment of Bechor l'nachala in the context of Bechor l'kohen or l'pidgin haben. Because one would have thought that lo harei Bechor l'nachala l'Bechor l'pidgin haben, even when they do overlap, because they're really two completely different types of dinim. Bechor l'nachla on the surface seems to be a choshen mishpat halacha, strictly speaking, nothing more than that. And from that point of view, it's dealt with in Choshen Mishpat. The Rambam deals with it in Hilchos Nachala. Hilchos Nachala is in Sefer Mishpatim. Sefer Mishpatim includes Dine Schiros and She'ela, even more interesting, Milva. Right before we get to Hilchos Nachala, we have Hilchos Toin V'Nitan. And after Toin V'Nitan, you have Hilchos Nachalos. Hilchos Nachalos has to do with Toin V'Nitan. It has to do with dispute among people, or figuring out the balance of relationships or rights of different people. So from that point of view, Hilchos Nachala is in Sefer Mishpatim, it's in Choshen Mishpat, it's in Bava Basra. Primarily, of course, it is dealt with in the context of the larger picture of Yerusha in Bava Basra, which is where you would expect that it would be. And even if there happened to be the overlap of Bechor L'Nachala and Bechor L'Pidgin Haben, I wouldn't necessarily have put them in the same Mishnah, especially the ones that are, as the Rambam points out, obvious. I mean, where you have no controversy whatsoever, you have a clear-cut Bechor without any kind of ambivalence or ambiguity. Basically, the firstborn of a father and a mother, let's say, without any kind of previous episode that calls into question whether or not this is indeed a first child, etc. I still wouldn't have put it in the Mishnah in Bechoros. I would have focused in the Mishnah in Bechoros on what seems to be relevant to Bechor. The whole Masechta is about the concept of Pidyon and Kedusha. It begins with Peter Rechem, that's the first parak. From there it moves on to Pidyon Aben in a Behema Tahora. And they speak about the Mumin of a Bechor. Right? And from there, we follow through with the idea of Bechor Adam, which the Torah itself sometimes compares with Bechor Behema. These are Kadshim issues, these are Matnos Kahuna issues. Again, the Rambam deals with Pidgin Aben, as it happens, in Hilchos Bikurim, in Sefer Zroim, when he talks
about the Matnos.
Yeah, you have it also in Chulin. This is right at the connection between Chulin and Bechoros, for that reason, is a natural one. You're absolutely right. So Chulin leads into Bechoros. And this is about, essentially, about Matnos Kuna, just like you have Reishis Hagez, and Zro Lechayim, and so on. So you also have the din of Bechor Peter Chamor, and then you have Bechor Behema Tahora Pidyon, and then you have Bechor HaAdam as well, which is why I say why the Rambam deals with it in Hilchos Bikurim. There's also a korban aspect, which is why this is in Kadshim, and that is dealt with the Rambam in Hilchos Bechoros. So the Rambam still made a decision to put it in Hilchos Bikurim, and not elsewhere. But again, the Rambam could have put you know, Hilchos pigeon a ben, for example. He could have put it in Sefer Ava, you know, next to Inyane Mila, right? There's certainly in terms of the chronology of, you know, of life events, life cycle, right? There's the Mila, and then there's the pigeon a ben. In any case, the Ram didn't do that. The Ram put it very specifically in Matnos Kahuna, and I say the Masechta Bechoros. And one would have thought that this is a Yoredeya halacha, which it is. The dinim of pigeon a ben are dealt with in Yoredeya. It has to do then with kahuna, and it has to do with matnas kahuna and Yoredeya, and so on. Very little to connection with bechar adam. Indeed, if you look at the psukim themselves, again, the Torah speaks very clearly about the bechar ha'adam, ki li b'nei Yisrael, ki li ha'bechar. When I get a chance to speak in a pigeon a ben, I try to make this point. It's almost, you just can't miss it. If you look at the parshas in the Torah that speak about pigeon and bechor, the language of li is continuous. Rabbeinu Shalom is very, very proprietary when it comes to the bechor. And of course, you speak also, and we'll speak more about this when we talk in detail about pigeon a ben, about two aspects which are related, although the balance between them needs to be analyzed. That is the relationship between Kedusha and Pidjo, right? We speak about the Kedusha when it comes to Pidjo Naben, and therefore Pidjo mi Kedusha. Again, how literal it really is a problem. In the tekes of a Pidjo Naben, you know, we say, we go through this, it comes pretty early from the time of the Gaonim, my boy is Tvei. You know, we say to the to the father, well, you know, to make the hard and difficult choice. Right. But as the poskim all point out, you know, it's a bit misleading because let's say he doesn't, you know, want to, you know, shell out the, you know, the five sloim, you know, and he's happy to give his son to the Kohen. This doesn't work that way. Right. So all the poskim are bothered by that. Why do we have this tekes from the Gaonim that isn't really legally, halachically, accurate? Either way, the child doesn't belong to the Kohen. It's not the normal concept of pidgin. Maybe that's something that we'll have to discuss going forward. But the reason that we can get away with this tekes, and undoubtedly that it's there, and you know that most people don't even express any problem with it, is because the psukim themselves speak about ki li kol bechor, ki li bechor. Again, everywhere we find it, in Shemos, in Parshas Bo, in Bamidbar. Every time we have the parsha of Pidjon HaBen, we have this very strong proprietary language of the Torah that there really is a concept of Kili. And we know the history of Bechor when it comes to Pidjon HaBen as well. I mean, it's a history that we just read about a few parshas ago in Parshas Korach, right? And earlier. Namely, the idea that the Bechor used to be the Kohen, he used to be in charge of the Avoda. In fact, that's how Chazal explain the very first reference to the Bechorah, when it came to the whole struggle between Yaakov and Esav, right? Hinei anochi halech lamus v'lama zeli Bechorah. So Chazal say, and Rashi quotes it in his Perush al Atar, that what did Esav mean by that? Hinei anochi halech lamus v'lama zeli Bechorah. So Chazal say that, you know, Esav said, listen, the halacha is that the bechor is oved bekarbanos, and when you're oved bekarbanos, if you do certain things wrong, then you could end up being chayv misa. So that's what he meant when he said hinei anochi alech lamus lama zeli bechora. This is a sama mabez. What do I need this for? I'd rather give it away. I'm happy to give it away. And if I can get a little lentil soup, you know, as a fringe benefit, even better. So that was basically the attitude of Esav and Yaakov. You know, we'll add the drush, this will be the hashkafa since I've thrown later, that, you know, Yaakov understood that this was an opportunity. Yaakov understood that the fact that there may be chiyuve misa connected with the avoda isn't a reason to avoid it, but a reason to enthusiastically embrace it. Because he understood that the stakes are high because it's a lofty enterprise and it's a tremendous spiritual opportunity. So even though he was the ish tam yoshev ahalim, and the farthest thing from his personality was exploiting, you know, Esav's hunger, min adom adom azeh. But basically, Yaakov was horrified, you know, that Esav would see in the Bechorah a burden, Lamazeli Bechora. So he had to, you know, overcome his own personality, and he had to be a Kanai, you know, so he's Parshas Pinchas. That's what the Netziv says about Pinchas. Pinchas deserved the Bris Shalom, and he's the Kanai who whose kina is considered to be admirable because the Netziv says this, because it was against his personality. Now, there's some people out there, they're only going to do the right thing, and they would never, you know, be involved in violent or this kind of behavior because they're Shomer Torah mitzvos. But when they have the opportunity, when they can capitalize on it, so this gives vent to their violent side or their, you know, their on the edge part of their personality. So the kina is something which which is an opportunity for them, even if they don't ever, you know, go beyond. And that's sometimes very difficult, obviously, to do as well. But the Netziv says the chiddush of Pinchas was that he deserved and received the Bris Shalom. His personality was exactly the opposite. He was the most contrary to a Kanoi, personality-wise, of anyone that you could find. And that's why his kina was completely l'shem shamayim, and that's why it's rewarded by Bris Shalom, Melach as well. Anyways, so the same thing is true with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu takes the Bechora away from Esav. Precisely, he can do that, and it's not, you know, Titanemus Yaakov. It doesn't violate the, you know, personality profile of Yaakov Avinu, because he does it completely Shem Shemayim, because he realizes that anybody could say Neanochi Alekla Mus Velamaz Ali Bechora, or somebody who would trade something as precious as the Bechora for lentil soup, even if he's very, very hungry, is a person from whom this special opportunity needs to be liberated. And therefore, he has to do it as Ishtam Yoshev Ahalim. He has to go against his personality in a way. In any case, what I'm trying to explain with all of this is that the Bechor and Pidgin Aben, the Bechor, which is, you know, most relevant to this particular parak, is belongs in Yoredeya. It's about Kedusha, it's about Pidgin. Whether or not in fact it's so, when we say my boys today, that we'll discuss. But maybe the symbol, even if it isn't so, is still important. And one would have just thought that the words Yesh Bechor L'Nachla, Ve'ena Bechor L'Kohen, Bechor L'Kohen, Ve'ena Bechor L'Nachla, just don't belong together. Or even Yesh Bechor L'Kohen V'L'Nachla, even where there is the overlap, it's just, you know, you just wouldn't put them together because, you know, Ha'ilechu de'koi v'ha'ilechu de'koi. We're just talking about two completely different ideas. Yoredeya, Choshe Mishpat, Kahuna, or Matnas Kahuna, Toin v'Nitan. What do these things have to do with each other? Right? The aftermath of Chulin, the prelude to Zvachim and Menachos, and, you know, and the end of Bava Basra. Ha'ilechu de'koi v'ha'ilechu de'koi. So therefore I think that another approach different from that of the Rambam's is that even where there is comparison, not just where there the contrast is something that we expect, the comparison is not factual, but at least conceptual, that we put these in one Mishnah, there's something to that as well. And that is instructive, that we are just putting these together is instructive as well. If we do put them together, according to this Mahalach, so then maybe we should reassess both components. Maybe Pidgin Aben isn't so completely about Kedusha. Maybe it, like Bechor L'Nachla, has a financial component or primary financial component. That's the other side of the Mai Bois Tvei, the fact that it really isn't accurate. The fact that, you know, if you don't want to give the money for Pidgin Aben, it's a Chovas Mamon, one in which there are Shibudim, this parak speaks much about. It's a chi of al-av, not a chi of a bain initially. It has a financial component, a very significant one. Indeed, one of the most important aspects of this parak is to establish that whenever you have safek chi of pidgin a bain, what we say about that is, it's one of the most important applications, motzi mechavero, olav araya. You can't get any more dine mominis than that. So that's one part of the reevaluation which we'll have to undertake. The other side, which I want to speak about or begin to speak about today, is on the Bechor L'Nachla side. It's true, it's in the end of Bava Basra, and it's after Hilchos Toin v'nitan, and undoubtedly, and it's in Choshen Mishpat, and undoubtedly it belongs there. And if you look in the Torah has the Seder Hanachalos in the context of Benos Tzavchad and other places, but it's not clear that it has any significance, that any great significance, very much beyond that. It's in the Parsha of Snua v'Ahuva in Kiteitze. But maybe we should reevaluate. On the one hand, we have the Rambam in his placement, and even if you look at the Koteret of the Rambam in Ilchos Nachlos, so the Rambam says, Mitzvah say achas vihi din seder nachlos. That's it. Bir mitzvah zuba prakim elu, and he starts off Ilchos Nachlos, seder nachlos kachu. Mishameis, yirshu banav, heim kodim lakol, ascharim kodim l'nekevos. Very matter-of-factly, very much a factual presentation. However, there are other indications as well. And actually, some of them are in the Rambam. Maybe the most important is in the Rambam. The Rambam, Hilchos Nachlos, Perek Vav Halach Aleph, has a very mechudash halacha. There's a big discussion in the Nosei Kelim. A, where did he get it from? Because it doesn't appear in the Gemara. B, how does he navigate the evidence, which seems to contradict this halacha? What is this halacha? Ein adam yachal lahorish misha ein aroi liyarsho v'lo lakar hayirusha mina yoresh. Afapi shezeh mamonu. The Rambam himself knows the problem. This is dine mamonis. It's choshen mishpat. Normally in choshen mishpat we have a rule masna masha kasu b'torah tnai. Kayam, even though you can't be as much kasa b'torah tnai batel, but b'tnai davar shu b'mamon tnai kayam. That's normally the rule is you can't change dinei Torah. I can't get up in the morning and say that you're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. I make a condition I can eat on Yom Kippur. You can't do that. It's not yours to change. You can't change any dinei Torah. You can't say I hereby declare that kiddushin is an open contract. You can't do that. However, what you can do is in a matter which is a davar shebamamon, tonight davar shebamamon, this is machlokas of Yehuda and Rav Meir, and we paskin that in tonight davar shebamamon, where the din Torah affects dinei mamonis, there you can make a condition. Tonight davar shebamamon kai. However, the Rambam says, when it comes to Yerusha, you can't do that. Afa pishas mamon hu, you cannot designate a yoresh someone who is not, and you cannot reduce or remove a yoresh from his rightful portion. L'fisha nemar b'parshas Nachlos, v'hoysa l'bnei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat. Lomar shechukas zu lo tishtaneh, v'ein atnai moel ba. Bein shetziva v'hu bari, bein shetziva v'hu shkiv meira, bein alpeh, bein b'ksav, ein amor. Now there are other things you can do, just as a matter of point of fact. I mean, you can deplete your assets so that there's less to give to the Yarshim, or you can give a matana prior to your death. You can give whatever whatever you want to whoever you want. So it's not that difficult to actually achieve your interests with your own money. However, the Rambam's telling us, and this is Chukas Mishpat Makar, is the Chiddush of the Rambam, because it doesn't appear in the Gemara, not in Bava Basra, not in Bechoros. The Rambam says, because the Torah calls Nachala Chukas Mishpat, through the mechanism internally, you can't say, I hereby make a condition, I want to revamp Dinei Yerusha, Dinei Nachala. If you're working with Dinei Yerusha, Dinei Nachala, then you are stuck with the protocol as outlined by the Torah. That's a Chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam repeats this in Perek Yud Beis, Hilchos Ishus Halacha Tes. There the Rambam speaks also about, in the context of Ishus, the Rambam says that there are, mostly you can make a Tanai B'davar Shub Mamon, as we explain. However, he says there are some exceptions. You can't be Poches Min Abesula Masayim. If you want to cheat, or you want to reduce the amount that you're going to give to a Besula for her Ksuva, less than 200 Zuz, you can't do that. The Mishnah calls that Ki'ilu Boel Be'ila Znus. And you can't do that. That's what the Rambam explains. You cannot change Dinei Torah when it comes to the Chi of Ona, the physical relationship between husband and wife, whatever those obligations are, they are not subject to Tanai. And the third one is when it comes to Yerushas, Yerushas Haba. And the Rambam explains that Yerushas Haba is based on Chukas Mishpat, and in all three of these cases have to do with the fact that more than Dine Mamonis is at stake. In the case of Ona, the physical husband-wife relationship, we understand that that's maybe partially about Hanah Saguf, about physical pleasure, but it is about Ishus, it's not just about money. Yerushas Habal and all of that, again, is part of the Parsha of Chukas Mishpat, which he quotes, referring to Perek Vav Hilchos Nachlas, and being Poches Meisha Masayim Niksuva, that's the Rambam's way of saying that the Ksuva isn't just about money either. The Ksuva is about the quality and integrity of the marriage. The point is that according to the Rambam, Nachla is not simply Dine Mamonis, it's Chukas Mishpat. Yeah.
Just regarding the point you were saying, doesn't the Gemara of Basra there say, in contrast to Shark Sisviona, the Gemara is Mechalik?
Yeah, so that's one of the questions that I've referred to, Gemara Kuf Chavav. Yeah, so the Gemara Kuf Chavav and Basra, which is one of the Gemara Mekomos for next time, exactly does seem to have a discussion of Masa Masha Kosa Vitara when it comes to Yerusha, and the Gemara there makes a contrast to Sharon Psus and other cases, and the Gemara says something like, Hasam. Kamachla, like the Sher Ksusus. No, there's Mechila. Hacha mi Kamachla. That's what the Gemara says on Kuf Chavav in Bava Basra. And that's one of the rayas that's what I meant. I said, number one, everybody wonders where the Rambam got this makar of Chukas Mishpat, but it's not in any Gemara anywhere. And number two, it seems to be against the evidence, because the Gemara there seems to say, Hasa mi Kamachla, that there is no Mechila, or there's no reason for the other party to be Mocha. But it sounds like in principle, there would be Masna Masha Kasa B'Tara, in theory, it would be comparable to Ksus V'Yona. So this is one of the questions that is asked, you're absolutely right, against this particular Rambam. When we get to it on Thursday, I'll make a suggestion of how the Rambam may have read, maybe the Rambam read that Gemara, Dafka, in this way. Well, I'll say it now, but I'll explain why then. And that is that when the Gemara said, Hasam Mikamachla, there's a Machlokas of Rishon, I'm going to read that as well. One is Hasami Kamachla, will the party who's being undermined, will they agree to such a thing? They won't. And even if they say they will, so maybe the umdana is that they're not serious about it. That's one way to explain Hasam Mikamachla. The other view in the Rishonim is Hasam Mikamachla, they don't have the ability to be mocha. Now, why is there no ability to be mochel? In which case, it's the distinction between Sherksus Viona and Nachla is a principal distinction, not just a pragmatic one. Why? So I think there could be two reasons. One could be, according to the Rambam, because it's Chukas Mishpat. Namely, it's more than Mamonis. So the Mechila, what the Gemara is saying is Mechila is irrelevant because there's more at stake here. What's at stake here is the family structure that is implied by Nachla. The other possibility is that the Yerusha begins la'achar misa sa'av, and therefore until that point it's a davar shelo bal yola. That's how some Rishonim, that's how the Rajba in Bava Basra understand. We'll get back to it when we get to Kuf Chavav Mebeis next time, because it's important for the Bekor as well. But I agree, it is a question, but I would take one of those two approaches for the Rambam. In this case, given the Rambam's Chukas Mishpat, I think he would read that the Gemara there is saying, in principle, there can be no Mechila, for the same reason there could be no Mechila in being Poches, Mibesula, Masayim, and an Ona. Namely, because these are not subject to Mechila, they are more than Mama. Again, Masha Lamad Dover Dome. I should also add that Rabbi Kneger has a tshuva in the Frankel Rambam, here he quotes it, where he discusses whether or not normally we apply Dina de Malkusa Dina to matters of money. Why not? But since the Rambam says that Nachla isn't just money, it's Chukas Mishpat, so Rabbi Kaveger says maybe Dina de Machusa Dina wouldn't apply either. I mean, that's a huge issue and topic.
In Eretz Yisrael, it belongs to the Rosh, it belongs to the Rabbanut.
Well, it doesn't belong to the Rabbanut. They may preside over it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting issue.
Should apply to Sheher and Ksus also.
You mean the question of Dina de Machusa Dina? I've never seen it applied. I don't think so. I mean, but that might have its own other aspect. I mean, again, maybe in Eretz Yisrael that would be relevant. And here you wouldn't apply Dina Machus Adina normally to that. But anyways, but you would in Nachla, because that seems like hardcore Choshen Mishpat. And yet, so it's an interesting, there are very important ramifications for this Ram. But again, Mashal Lamad Davar Dama, just to give you another example of it, something which the Rambam doesn't say, and on the contrary, but to answer the question of the Rambam, the Gaonim have a Shita. You know, we know from the Parsha of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain that there is something called Mishpatei Tanoim, right? That when you want to impose a condition, you have to do so according to strict rules and regulations, right? Tanai Kodem L'maisa, and you know, Tanai Kafel, and Hein Kodem L'lav, and all sorts of requirements. One of which is that you can't be masna masha kasa b'torah, and as you can't just impose a condition. There's a way of imposing condition. The formulation has to be of a certain quality. The relationship between the act and the tanai, and all sorts of rules and regulations that are outlined in the Gemara in the seventh parak of Gittin and the third parak of Kiddushin, and they come up all sorts of places. So the Gaonim have a view which says that these requirements for Mishpatei Tanayim, or at least some of them, are limited to Ishus and Isur Veheter cases, contexts. But in Dine Mamanis, there's no requirement of Mishpatei Tanayim. In other words, if I'm making a deal, a real estate deal, and I impose a condition, even if I didn't repeat it, I didn't say, if you do this, then that, and if not, then not. I didn't do Tanai Kafel, I didn't do Hein Kodem L'lav, etc., the deal would go through anyway. But in Ishus, if I'm trying to say, Haret Mukdashasli, Amanas, 100 Zuz, so there, the only way that it's going to be binding, the Tanai, is if I, you know, cross the... cross the T's and dot the I's. Okay. That is the sheet of the Gonim. So the Rambam asks a very simple question. Pretty powerful question. Rambam Duchazisha's Perikov Halacha Yadalid says, well, I don't understand. Isn't the Makar of Tanai B'nei Gadu B'nei Ruvain and Mishpatei Tanoim B'nei Gadu B'nei Ruvain the real estate deal that they pulled off Be'ever Yardin? Right? Which is Dine Mamanus? So how can the Gonim say that the source for Mishpatei Tanoim, namely Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, the Dine Mamanis, doesn't require Mishpatei Tanoim? That's the source. And the Ram leads the Betarchi, and that's why he rejects the Gonim. There are different answers that are given to this question. I think that the answer is really very simple, profound but simple. And that is that the Gonim will tell you that Yerusha Seretz Yisrael is not Dine Mamanus. Right? I mean, obviously it has a Dine Mamanus dimension to it, but really, and there's a lot of evidence for this, it's about the structure of Klal Yisrael, right? To who gets what and where and who your neighbors are and how, what kind of size.
But Benos Tzlochlot came along.
In a way, the whole parsha of Benos Tzlochlot takes on greater significance and urgency when you consider that it isn't just about money. They weren't just saying, oh, we're entitled to a portion.
No.
What they were saying is, it's Nachal, it's Eretz Yisrael, it's our legacy. And legacy is about more than money. So what I'm suggesting is that for the Rambam, in a way, the Chukas Mishpat establishes that Nachla is about more than money. Nachla is about a legacy, a place in the family. So it's true, I could give away all my money before I die. But according to the Rambam, I can't play around, I can't tamper internally with Dine Nachla. Why? I mean, is it a technicality? Either way, you can do what you want with your money. There's an important statement to be made by the fact that when it comes to Yerusha, this is the protocol. From a family structure point of view, that's a significant statement. In that case, if that is true, and according to the Rambam, I think it is true, so then what emerges is, just as we have to reassess whether Bechor, Lidin, Pidgin, Aben, you know, isn't a little more Choshen Mishpat and a little less Yoredeya than we might have thought. So too, we have to reassess whether or not Dine Nachla aren't a little more Yoredeya, even though they are, of course, rooted in primarily in Choshen Mishpat. In other words, what I'm suggesting is a way to bridge the gap and to bring Bechor, Lenachla, and Bechor, Lepidgin, Aben together, so that they really do belong in the same Mishnah, that we can speak about them even as we're contrasting them and even when we're comparing them there is significance to the statement. There's something in Bechor, Lenachla, and Lepidgin Aben, which is about money in both cases, but it's also in both cases about family structure and status. This particularly may be true with regard to Bechor, and that in two directions. Or I should say, let me make that statement again. The status of Bechor with respect to this issue may differ, although that may also be in both directions. And let me explain what I mean. Number one, Bechor obviously stands out as being a different halacha. When it comes to Bechor, we have two psukim, which, again, for the next time tomorrow comes, but we'll already mention it, may be more than simply Seder HaNachalos. That is the psukim in Parshas Kitetze, where the Torah says Yakir, right? You have to recognize the Ben HaBechor. One of the things that we have to do is figure out, based on the Gemaras here in Bechoros and the Gemaras that I gave you in Bava Basra, where and what role does Yakir, where does Yakir appear in terms of Torah Shabbat Peh? What role does it play? How significant and different is it? We're going to speak soon about our Mishnah and Gemara here, but already in our sugya here in the beginning of Bechoros, it's clear that Yakir plays an important role. The Gemara here on Memvam and Beis, right, says Yakir Amrachmana to explain Shitas Reish Lakish that Padachas is Poteres Bechol Mokom Chutz Me'anachal, meaning when the Vlad is coming out of the Rechem of the mother, so if the forehead comes out and nothing else, is that considered a Leda or not? So according to Reish Lakish, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Padachas is Koveya even with regard to Yerusha, even with regard to Bechor. But Reish Lakish said that Padachas is Koveya with regard to other dinim, Pidgin Aben, Leda, Tumas Leda, the Minyan Yimei Tohar, all of those dinim, but not with regard to Nachla, because it says Yakir. Yakir Amrachma. So the pasuk of Yakir is very, very important. We'll have to see what other dinim we learn from Yakir. Tosas here, Alatar, again, we'll get to the details later on, but Pevav Medbeis, Memvav Medbeis, Tosas Mai Tama Yakir Ksiv, asks the question, Tema, Beperik Asar Yochsin, Beperik Eshnochlin, Dochik, Rabbanu de Rabbi Yehuda, Yakir Lamali, Lema de Itzruch, Lekinidar Shinan Hocha, etc. He says, how can the Gemara in Kedushin and Chesed and Beis and the Gemara in Bava Basra come from Zayin and Beis? The Gemara there says that that there's a debate whether or not we learn from Yakir that the father can recognize, is believed to recognize his son, the Bechor, even against the Chazaka. We give him that power. That's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanim. Rabbi Yehuda gave wide powers of Nemanus to the father when it comes, at least when it comes to his son, the Bechor, based on the Pasuk, Yakir. And the Rabbanon disagree, and then the Gemara there says, well, if the Rabbanon disagree, well, what do they think Yakir teaches us? So Tosas asks, what do you mean? According to Reish Lakish, it teaches us the din of Padachas. Okay, so we'll get back to it. Tosas ends up saying that Yakir has two meanings. Yakir referring to the Yud part of the Yakir, meaning the father's part of the Yakir, and then there's the son's part of the Yakir, that it should be Nikar or Mukar. That the Padachas halach is a din in the son, that he should be mukar, and or nikar, and the yakir that they're worried about in Bava Basra is the yud, namely that that it sounds like he, particularly the father, has the koach to be makir espino. But this is an interesting question. Where do we apply yakir? Is it just a gilui milsa bialma of certain dinim, or does it tell us something more fundamental about the nature of this halacha? It should be noted that the Ramban in his Perush al HaTorah in Kitetze and in Sefer HaMitzvos counts Yakir as a mitzvah saseh. Okay, the Rambam does not, but the Ramban does. And what he says about it is significant as well, which we'll discuss on when we finish this up on Thursday. What is it we learned from that mitzvah saseh? But the very fact that there might be a mitzvah saseh of Yakir already implies that this is more than simply about money. Okay. On the other hand, or either it's on the other hand, or it's consistent with this, depending on your point of view. If we look at the sugyas in the end of the perek, I say the issue of Bechor L'Nachla is the focal point of the first two dapim, And it's together a little with Pidgin Aben, and it's also the focus of the last daf in the parak. So the Mishnah here on Nun Aleph from a base, Habachor Notal Pishnayim Benichse Ha'av, Eina Notal Pishnayim Benichse Ha'aim. We'll hopefully get back to that, if not today, the next time. How do we know that halacha, that the Rusha of the Bechor is limited to the father, it doesn't apply to the mother's estate? Eina Notal B'Shevach, V'lo B'roi K'B'Muchzak. These are all issues that we'll discuss more fully next time. V'lo Ha'isha B'Ksuvasa, lo Ha'barim B'Mitzon Ha'Seim, lo Ha'Yavam, V'kulam Ein Notal B'Shevach, V'lo B'roi K'B'Muchzak. You have an interesting Mishnah here. And the Mishnah tells us that the dinim of Bechor are different than the dinim of Pashut with regard to Ra'ui and Shevach. And it also tells us that the din of Bechor is limited to the father. It doesn't apply to the mother. Well, when we talk about the contrast between Pidgin Aben and Bechor, we'll get back to that. We'll get back to that soon enough. Okay. So the Gemara explains that what is this based on? My time amakra v'lo mishpat habechora mishpat bechor leish v'ein mishpat habechora leisha v'ein anoto b'shevach t'ksiv b'chol hashem reading gemar here nun beis aleph b'chol hashem yimatzei lo v'lo v'roi kibemuchzak t'ksiv v'lo v'roi kibemuchzak t'ksiv b'chol hashem yimatzei lo again. Okay. So in contrast to the isha, then the gemara says v'lo ha'isha b'ksivasa eini. If you have a piece of property and that's meshuba to the gviya of the ksuva, and then the that property improves in value, let's say things grow on the property in the interim period, so in a regular shibud, that would qualify for the gviya sa hanachasim b'shubadim. Here, for some reason, it doesn't. We only say, you know, the property as it was, not b'roi, not b'shevach. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abba Mikulei Ksuba Shanuka." La Banus Bim is on the same again. My Tama Tanai Ksuba Kiksuba. So in contrast to the din of Banos Bim is on the same and Isha Biksuvasa, it sounds like the din of Ra'ui and the din of Shevach in Bechor is a din Daraisa, and it's based on the pasuk Kol Asher Yimatzei Lo. There's also another din which is din daraisa, v'lo mishpat habechora. Strangely, because v'lo mishpat habechora seems to refer to the child, not to the father. How is v'lo mishpat habechora a limud for the father? Right, that's strange. If you look at the Rashbam and Bava Basra, Rashi here a little bit as well. So it sounds like this limud is based so much of the parsha is referring to the father, in which the words v'lo mishpat habechora, which refers to the child, appears, and therefore v'lo mishpat habechora must be to the father's estate and not to the mother's estate. That's how the Rashbam interprets in Bava Basra. I think do I have it here? Sometimes I quote it on the side, but okay, no. However, if you look at Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom on the spot here, Nun Beis Amid Aleph, V'lo Mishpat HaBechora, so he says, L'ish, Sheha'ish Chayiv Lahorish L'Bechoro, Pishnayim Menachasa V'lo Ha'isha. The Rabbeinu Gershom has a very interesting perush, and that is, V'lo Mishpat HaBechora doesn't refer to the Yoresh, it refers to the Morish. And as he put it, puts it as a chiyuv, leish ha'ish chayev lahorish lebechoro pishnayim v'lo ha'isha. I think it's a much better pshat, but it is a chiddush because normally we read v'lo mishpat habechoro as referring to the yoresh. He's referring to the morish, but there's an assumption in the Rabbeinu Gershom, and that is v'lo mishpat habechoro is a chiyuv. Otherwise, it makes no sense. Now, if it refers to v'lo mishpat habechoro, he has the right of Yerusha, then it has to refer to the child, the Yoresh. If it's v'lo mishpat habechora, right, then it can only, if it's referring to the Morish, then it can only refer as a chiyuv. So my point is, on the one hand you have Yakir, and we have to discuss the scope of Yakir. In addition to that, you have the special din of Asher Yimatzei, which we'll get back to in a second. But then you have also this idea of v'lo mishpat habechora, which according to Rabbeinu Gershom, refers to the chiyuv of the morish when it comes to the bechor. In addition to that, if you turn to the next page, the next mishnah, the last mishnah in the parak, so the mishnah says, the elush ein chozen biyovel. Everybody have that? Habechora, vayorish asishto, v'hamiyave misei shasachiv, v'hamatana divi rabbi meir. Chachamim omrim, hamatana kemecher. Rabbi Elazar omer, kulam chozen biyovel. So you have 3 days in the Mishnah regarding the question, what happens Bishnas Hayovel when things are supposed to go back to their origin. So what is the status of various things? What we're focused on is Bechor. So the first mandamar, the Tanakam in the Mishnah says, Elu Shein Chozer B'Yovel HaBechora. But that's Rabbi Meir. But that's based on the idea HaBechora HaYorish Ishto. Even a matana that is given is also not chozer biyovel. And the Gemara explains, "My tamed Rabbi Meir, mecher hudam rachmana lihader biyovel, matana virusha lo." In other words, this halacha that things go back in yovel actually are limited to mecher. Anything but mecher doesn't go back. And if that's the case, so we can explain, "Bahani mirusha yirusha." The matana matana, but the fascinating thing is that bechor losas lo pishnayim matana karya rachmana. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Meir, the reason that bechora is not chozer biyovel is betoras matana, not betoras yerusha. Chelik pashut of yerusha would not be chozer because it's not mecher, it's yerusha, so it's not chozer. But chelik bechor is midin. Based on the diuk and the psukim, lase slo pishnayim, matana karya rachman.
Why does it have to say a yorish asishto?
Yorish is another case. Well, no, because this is after he dies already.
Oh, this is after.
Yeah. It's Yerusha. The chachamim omrim, look at this, let's just continue for a moment. What about the second day in the Mishnah? Chachamim omrim, hamatana is kemecher. Meaning matana, like mecher, is chozer biyovel. But Rabbi Elazar says, Kulam Chozer Biyovel. Now what is the second day of, what is the Tanakh, the Chachamim, what do they hold about Bechora? So the Gemara explains, Chachamor Matana Kemecher, Mai Tamayu Drabanan, Toshuvu, Larabos Esa Matana, meaning Matana is also Chozer Biyovel, the Hanikulu, Yerushaninu, he doesn't seem to disagree about Bechora, he only seems to disagree about Matana. Right, but the first mandama Rabbi Meir holds that matana, right, is necessary for bechora. So the answer is the second mandama holds that hanikula yerusha bechor amar kra lase slo pishnayim makish chelik bechora lechelik pashut ma chelik pashut yerusha af chelik bechora yerusha. And the third mandama Rabbi Lazar amar kula bechozer biyovel savala krabban damer tashuva l'rabos is a matana that basically. Matana's chozer, v'hani kula matana ninu, b'chor losos le'pishnayim, matana karya rachmana. And Yerosh Yisishto, Yerosh Yisabal, he would say it's only drabanan, and therefore it's chozer, and miyabe nesishto, esay shesachi, b'chor karya rachmana. What am I trying to explain with this? Basically, you have 3 deos in the Mishnah. 2 deos in the Mishnah believe that b'chor, chelik b'chor is not chozer b'yoda. And the third, Rabbi Eliezer holds that it is chozer b'yoda. So according to Rabbi Elazar, it's chozer biyovel because bechor is in the category, chelik bechor is in the category of matana, matana karya rachmana. And the second assumption is that matana is chozer. According to the first mandamar, as it turns out, Rabbi Meir, he agrees that bechor is matana karya rachmana, but he just happens to think that any matana is not chozer biyovel. And the middle shita is a Tanakama, who say, had bechor been matana, like other matanos, it would be chozeres biyovel, but bechora is yerusha, it's not matana. So it turns out that we have a very, very important argument among the Tanaim, whether or not we look at bechora as a double yerusha, or it has its own special status as matana karya rachman. Now if it is matana karya rachmana, I still think we could go either way with it. It stands out, obviously. It establishes that the chelik bechora is unusual. The question now is, in what way? It's unusual, and it's a matana bi'alma, just like Rabbi Eliezer was saying, matana kaya rachmana. So basically, the chelak ha-bechora is pure kosher mishpah, pure matana. Or, it's matana kaya rachmana because it's a different kind of Yerusha. And maybe le'inyan yovel, it's going to be treated like matana, it's going to be chozeres, but it's not because it's pure kosher mishpah either. And we'll try to explain what we mean by that. It has to do with the special connection between the father and the child. And maybe it's connected to some of these other dinim, including Roy and Shevach, etc. In which case, Matana Kari Rachmana is not a reason to see Bechora more as Choshem Mishpat, but on the contrary, to see it more as something unusual. And indeed, that would fit with the words Yakir and Layucha Levakir in the Parsha, the only psukim that really speak in Iser and Mitzvah terms are the ones that relate to the Bechelek HaBechora, Lo Yuchal Levaker. Now again, you could say, if Matana Karya Rachmana, and it's the most Choshem Mishpat of the bunch, so then the Torah needs to overcompensate and tell you, V'yafal Pichein, Yakir, V'yafal Pichein, Lo Yuchal Levaker, it's a compensation. The other way to say it is, the Torah says Yakir, the Torah says Ayucha Levakir, it's Matana Kariya Rachmana, not because it's more Choshem Mishpat, but on the contrary, because it has more to do with the relationship between father and child, it's more even than Chelek, maybe Chelek Pashut is about business as usual in Nachla, and Choshem Mishpat, but Dafka, the Chelek HaBechora, is more like Pidgin Aben. It's more about a special status. So these are the issues, and this is the question we have to raise. Essentially, in discussing the status of Bechora vis-a-vis Pashut, one could ask several things. Is Chelek Bechora simply a double Chelek Pashut, like we found according to the Tanakama in this last Mishnah, on the base of the base? One Pashut. It's simply double Chelek. It's a quantitative thing. Bechora gets double. It doesn't seem to be that way fully, because everybody agrees about, Shevach and Roy, that it's different than that regard, and some other dinim that we'll get to. Okay, we'd have to adjust as our special gzeres hakasuvs. But that's the way to go. Or, the point is that Chelek HaBechora is really different than Pashut. In which case, we should ask another question, and that is, what about the Chelek Pashut of the Bechor? Is it only the second chelek that is unique, or even the first? Now, certainly it would be lo gara mi pashut when it comes to Shevach and Roy Kimbamuchsak. He's not going to be less because he's more. But in the dinim where he's more because he's more, does that apply also to the chelek ha-pashut? That would be an important question. Okay. Now, these are an integrated chelek ha-bechora in the chelek pashut shel bechora as well, or is it ha'ilachudekai v'ha'ilachudekai? If indeed it really is different, whether it's only the chelek bechora or both, what kind of halacha is that? Okay, so these are the issues that we need to look at, and basically what I've just suggested then, just to sum up what we've done until now, is we began with the Mishnah. We noted that the Mishnah integrates bechor l'nachla, as does the parak, bechor l'nachla and bechor l'pidgin aben. It compares them and contrasts them. The Rambam made his comment in Perush Mishnayos how some of the cases are just completely obvious. I'm not arguing that they aren't obvious. I'm just arguing that, factually they're obvious. I'm just arguing there's still a chiddush in the placement of these in one single Mishnah, because one would have thought that these dinim just, have nothing. They may overlap occasionally, but they have nothing to do with each other at all. Then I'm suggesting that the reason for that would be a bias, which would say that Pidgin Aben is all about Yoredeya, and it's all about Kahuna, and it's all about the status of the Gavra, and it's all about the far past history of Jewish people, in terms of Kahuna and Leviyah, and Bechor L'Nachla is about Toin V'Nitan, and all right, a little extra money for the Bechor, but that's about all. And then what I'm suggesting is that maybe that is not true at all, and that the inclusion of these two in the Mishnah requires us to reassess both. Number one, Pidgin Aben may be much more about a chiyuv, mamon, or an asina, lekohen, than it is a real pidyon, or real din kedusha, or real status of the bechor, in fact, at all. Maybe it's really more of a chovas mamon of the father, which is later picked up by the child, but with shibudim and motzei mechaval of araya, that's one of the issues, and for that we're going to have to assess when we go forward and discuss the pidyon aben. You know, what about the transactions that apply in other things, matana menas lahachzir and shtar admei, and do they apply here as well? You know, what kind of halacha are we dealing with here? That's one side of it. The other side is what we're our first topic, and that is, what about nachla? Is nachla really just about chosha mishpat in general? For that, we discuss the Rambam, the paradigm of nachlas Eretz Yisrael, b'nei got b'neruvin for the gonim, and then specifically the Rambam about chukas mishpat. And then specifically, we're turning our attention now to bechor. Whatever you say about pashut, is bechor purely about a double portion, or is it about something quite different than that? And as far as that is concerned, we need to look at Yakir and its scope. We need to look at why it is that Roy and Shevach don't apply to the Chelek HaBechor. Are they just Gzeiros Kasos, or are they following a certain pattern? Moreover, we have this discussion in the 3 days of the Tanaim and the explanation of the Gemara about Yovel. Namely, is it Matana Kayu Rachmana, or is it Chelek Bechora is compared to Chelek Pashut? And what about Chelek Pashut of a Bechor? What about Chelek Bechor of a Bechor? Is Matana Kayu Rachmana more of a reason to see it in terms of Chosha Mishpat, or actually more of a reason to see at least the Bechora part, as the Psukim themselves say, and the Ramban quotes them in Sefer Mitzvos, Yakir, Leuchel Avakir, even if Chelek Pashut is about money, this stuff is about Yoredeya. It's about more than that. Yeah.
So just a very brief PR regarding the general thing that you're going in about before being something more than Chosha Mishpat. In terms of legacy, I think that aside from the three opinions that exist in the Mishnah and based on the base, the grouping is very suggestive with Yibum and also Isha. Yibum more so because of Hakam Hashem.
And on the contrary, it's Yibum, the Dinam of Yibum, result, you're absolutely correct, let's give me a good amount of next point. The Dim of Yibum flow from Bechor. The reason that these halachas apply to Yavam is because Yavam Mikri Bechor. If you look, for example, here at same Sugya, Nun Beis Amud Aleph, look on Nun Beis Amud Aleph first, Veloasa Yavam, or Veloa Yavam. Right, when it comes to Isha, again, the connection to Isha and Mizonos Habas would seem to say these are technical halachas.
Unless Isha could be more noted to Isha Kikufo Dami.
Except not according to the Gemara, that it's based on Mikule Ksuva Shanukan, and that it's also only limited to the Nechasim Mishabadim. Right? So actually, Isha bin Mizonos, and the Gemara says Mikule Ksuva, and Tanai Ksuva Kiksuva, but otherwise it should have been Balchov Goves Hashavach. So that comparison would point in the other direction. But the Yavam, the Gemara says, "My Tama Bechor Karya Rachmana," and it's even more fascinating because if you look how seriously this is taken, you might have said, "Well, that's a Gilui Milsa," right? But the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye Lo Shna El B'Shevach Sheshibchu Nuchasin BeMisa LeYibam." Maybe that's true if there the property increases in value from the Misa till the Yibam. So when the Yavam takes a double portion, right, he doesn't get that extra benefit. Aval bein yibum lechaluka, anything that grows after the yibum before the chaluka, shakil, that he should take. My tama yakim al shem achiv ames amar achmana varekam. So Rava Amar afilu de bein yibum lechaluka nami lo shakil my tama kibachor ma bechor in lekodem chaluka af yavam nami ein lo kodem chaluka. So basically, What this ends up being, and you have the same thing when the Gemara talks about again in the next sugya about Yovel, Chazar Li Yovel. So the Mishnah also says, right, it talks about Yibam, Ham Yavam is Isha. So the Gemara says again that Matana Kari Rachmana, Hayorish is Isha Yerush is Baldra Banan, Vam Yavam is Isha Sachiv, Bechor Kari Rachmana. So even though the words Lasis Lo Pishnaim and Matana Karya don't really apply to directly to a Yavam at all, right? We see that we take very seriously the fact that Yavam Bechor Karya Rachmana. And I think this is the point that you were making, which I agree with, and that is it's very hard to say about Yavam, you know, that he gets it's an extra matana. It's a Choshen Mishpat thing. And you know, he's doing a good thing, we'll give him an extra reward. An extra pat on the back. It sounds like it's more than that. It's Yakum al Shem Achiv Ames. It really is about stepping in to his deceased brother's life. He takes over his wife, he takes over his property, meaning he is now the Hemsheikh and the ultimate Yoresh of his brother. That is certainly a status. So the idea that that halacha is an outgrowth of Bechor, and that it applies Bechor Kari Rachmana even where one would think that it shouldn't, like Bein Yibum L'Chaluka, according to Rava, all points in the direction that this din of Bechor, maybe Dafka Bechor Matana Kari Rachmana, or even Matana Kari Rachmana, is itself a status. I think that's absolutely correct. Okay. Having said all of this, now let's go back. We don't have so much more time today, but let's go back to the Mishnah. Okay. So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah does start with the contrast between Bechor L'Nachala and Bechor L'Pidgeon. Let's just see whether or not, first of all, let's identify what some of these are, and whether or not these are particularly significant. So the Mishnah says, Yesh b'chor l'nachla v'ein b'chor l'kohen. B'chor l'kohen v'ein b'chor l'nachla. B'chor l'nachla v'la kohen. Yesh ein b'chor lo l'nachla v'lo l'kohen. You have the full gamut of the relationships between the two b'chors. Eza b'chor l'nachla v'ein b'chor l'kohen. Which is b'chor l'nachla, not l'kohen, which is why we're starting with this halacha. So the first halacha is Abba achar ha'nefalim. Let's say you have a miscarriage or a child that is not going to survive. Right. So the question is, does that child, the Bechor, such that the child, the viable child that comes afterward is a Pashut, or not? That's the question. So Mishnah says, Afa b'shiyotzas rosho chai, hu ben tisha shiyotza rosho meis, even if the child emerges with Rosho Chai, but it's not a viable child. But at the time when the head emerged into the world, right, it was still alive, even though it's not viable, Lokalo Chadasha, or Bentisha, it's fully formed, Shiyotza Rosho Neis, but when it came out, when the head came out, it was already dead. So the halacha is that when it comes to Pidjo and Haben, it's considered a Leda and a Bechor, and the child that follows is not obligated to pay. And of course, this one isn't either because it's not didn't survive the 30 days, obviously. But when it comes to Bechor L'Nachala, the second child is the one that is the Bechor L'Nachala. The Yitzias Arosh Chai in Lo Kol Lo Chadasha, or in Kol Lo Chadasha Yitzias Arosh Meis, does not preclude Bechor L'Nachla. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. And Rashi explains that what is this based on? So Rashi says it is based on the Pasuk that describes Maitama, the Gabi Nachla, this is the middle of Habachar Nefalim Shiyotza Rosho, Shom Nefal Chai, the Chiddush in Rashi anyway, Kagon Shahayu Ta'omim. Echad Nefel ve'echad kol lo chadashav v'hotzi Nefel rosho chai v'ichziro. So the Nefel sticks out its head and then, right, goes back. V'bachavero v'kidmo v'yotza zeh ha'achron b'chor l'nachla d'rishon lo yitzido af agav d'rosho she'utzio chashuv leida ma'alya ma'itayma d'gabi nachla k'siv reishis ono mi shalev aviv davala. It makes Yatza Nefel Shotzi Rosho Rishon Afagav Dahava Kilud. Since Labak Kayamahu Ein Libo Davalav Avlinan Kohen Potter Hivlad Achron De Petar Rechem Talia Milsa Hari Rishon Potar Sarechem. This is a very fascinating halacha. Now the truth is, you have here two possible extremes. As in evaluating technically, what is a Bechor L'Inyan Nachla, what is a Bechor L'Inyan Pidyon Aben, you really have two opposite perspectives, and then the middle one. On the one end, you have, when it comes to Pidyon Aben L'Kohen, you have the factor of Peta Recha. And one might say, this is one of the issues we have to follow up with, but at least this is something to look at. One might say that even if there's no technical Leda, objectively, the fact is that this child, the viable child that follows, or the first Leda that follows, isn't Peta Rechem. Something else came out of the Rechem. So what about a Yitzia Min HaRechem, which doesn't qualify for Leda, Le'inyan, for example, Tumas Yoledes, or Korban Yoledes, or Yimei Tohar, things of that sort. Or, as we'll see in a minute, let's say for Shechita Saha'im, right, when there's a Vlad inside the mother, you have an animal, you do Shechita, so it applies to the child. Okay. What is considered a Leda, such that the child requires a separate Shechita? That's an issue. Or some of these other issues. It's quite possible that the definition of Leda requires more than the preclusion of petarecha. That's one extreme. On the other extreme, you have Bechor L'Nachla. It's possible that Bechor L'Nachla says the Rashi's, again, that's exactly what Rashi is quoting, it has to be Rashi's Ono. Rashi's Ono, Misha Lev Aviv, Davalav. So does that mean even if there was a previous Leda? In other words, in Petarechem, maybe we would exclude, maybe it would preclude the Chi of the Kohen, even if it wasn't a Leda, but it was only a Petarechem. And in Bechor L'Nachla, would we say that even if there was a Leda, however, it wasn't the kind of Leda Shelibo Dava love, and therefore it's not Rashi's Ono, even if it's a second Leda, that it would qualify for Bechor L'Nachla. In between those two extremes of Peta Rechem for Pidyon Aben and Libo Dava love, when it comes to Bechor L'Nachla, we have the more objective, let's say, question, but maybe it's not a single definition at that, of what constitutes Leda. Right? L'inyan Yoledes, L'inyan Yimei Tohar, L'inyan Shechita, and so on, and so forth. So here, I think, again, the more you can prove the extremes, it'll show you that these dinim are unique and different. If we can show that you don't even need the Leda Rishona, there can be a previous Leda when it comes to Bechor L'Nachla, as long as there's Libo Davalov, it doesn't violate the status, it doesn't in any way undercut the status of Bechor L'Nachla. This would certainly imply that Libo Davalov isn't just a Gili Milsa, but that somehow the relationship between the father and the child, well, let me make myself clear, it doesn't have to be an actual relationship. Let's call it the potential, structurally objective and potential relationship. In other words, you can have a negligent father, you can have a Bechor L'Nachla in every way without any kind of ambiguities, and a father can neglect his child. It can happen. Right, and then you can have a father whose closeness with his child is unsurpassed. But L'maisa just doesn't happen to be a Bechor. Right, I'm talking about the objective structure of things. Vlad she libo davalov. So what I'm saying is the more libo davalov isn't just a way of saying, well, it's not something dependent on petarecha. And maybe it even redefines, if there is some ambiguity and some room for a flexible definition, Leda L'Inyan Bechor L'Nachla is different than Leda L'Inyan Shechita, or Leda L'Inyan Tumas Yoledes, Korban Yoledes, etc.
I notice the Mishnah doesn't mention Yotze Dofen.
The next Mishnah
mentions Yotze Dofen.
So you're right, and Yotze Dofen is one of the cases I was just going to bring, but that's not the next, is it the next Mishnah actually? Or is there one in between? The Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amud Beis as records of the Beit Tanakama and Rab Shimon about Yotzei Dofen. So you're absolutely on target. If you look at the end, the last part of the Mishnah, Yotzei Dofen v'Haba Akrav, Shneem Einan Bechor. Lo L'Nachlav, Lo L'Kain, Rab Shimon Omar Rishon L'Nachlav, V'Hasheni L'Chamish Slay. You're absolutely correct. That's going to be an important case. But my point is, I'm trying to do two things at the same time. Number one, I'm trying to look factually at what we need for Bechor L'Nachla, what we need for Peter Rechem and Pidgin Aben. Is it Leida, but there's a flexible Leida, or is it, Reishis Ono, Shalibo Davalov? That's even more independent. And on the Pidgin Aben side, Peter Rechem. I'm also trying to suggest that is significant. And especially if we give greater weight to Reishis Ono, Mishalibo, Davalav, so what we're saying is the Din of Bechor isn't just a technicality. The Din of Bechor is meant, structurally at least, to imply a certain kind of relationship. Yeah.
Are you implying that the only way to potter the next child is for the first child to have that characteristic? For instance,
not necessarily.
Because you can have three necessary conditions, and if one of them is gotten rid of, then the next child won't have.
Right. You can have somebody, a first child, who would ruin it for the second child, exactly. Although he wouldn't be qualified himself. It's not just that he would be the Bechor L'Nachla, but what can you do? He died. Absolutely. And you have this, we'll discuss it soon. I mean, you have it in Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, I don't know if you got there yet, on Mem Zayin and Aleph, when they discuss a Ger. Right? Gershon is Geyer, who had children previously. So how does that impact on... now, the children previously are not going to be Bechor L'Nachla, obviously, but then they ruined Bechor L'Nachla for the first Jewish child. Right? So the Gemara says that's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The Gemara initially compares it to the debate about Piri V'Rivia, the same debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about Piri V'Rivia, whether you fulfill Piri V'Rivia with a non-Jewish child or not. And then the Gemara says, no, maybe you could be Mechalik between the two, because the previous ones aren't Bar Nachla. That's a big machlokes Rashi. Tell us what that means.
Is that up to the mother? I mean, about
But Bechor L'Nachla is never about the mother.
Not Bechor L'Nachla.
Bechor L'Pidgin Aben is about the mother.
It's about the mother.
Yeah. But the Gemara has the debate about both. If you look here on Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, Itmar Hoyla Banim Biyosa Ovda Kachabim V'Dizgai Rabbi Yochan Amar Inla Bechor L'Nachla Rabbi Shimon Lakash Amar Yesh Bechor L'Nachla. And again, Reishis Ono happens to be the pasuk that is quoted, interestingly enough. Okay, we'll get back to that. As for the mother, we'll see in the Mishnah now, even in the first Mishnah, the Mishnah discusses a Gioras,
right,
who had previous... so we'll see that in just a minute.
It's mentioned Liboy Davala.
So this is, Rashi quotes it, and does the Gemara say the words Libo Dava? I don't think so. That's Rashi's interpretation of why... I mean, the basic chiluk is in the Mishnah, and the Gemara explains it. The word libo dava.
So Rashi mentioned.
Rashi, yeah. I don't think the Gemara says the word libo dava exactly. Okay, yeah. It might have been also there in Yakir. The Gemara does say Yakir for similar such issues. Now here you have an interesting machlokas. Just mention it in the Rishonim. Rashi says that the case here is a case of ta'omim. You have twins. What happens if you have twins? The first one, emerges with his head, the one that is not viable, and then he pulls back, and then the other one, like Yaakov and Esav, the other one catches up, and he emerges, fully in the light of day. Some of the Mefarshim, Rashi and Chulin, I should also say Samaches, doesn't seem to hold like that. Rashi and Chulin seem to say that even if we were talking about a regular birth, let's say you just gave birth to a Nefel, to a Vlad, she ain't a bar kayama. Let's say it was a separate Ibor. So even then, the next child would be a Bechor L'Nachla. Rashi here makes it sound like the only reason that the second child can be the Bechor L'Nachla is because he is a twin, and in terms of Rubo, he came out first. But if it had not been for the fact that he was a twin, well, obviously these two things are connected, and therefore came out Rubo first, so then, in Achanami, the first would not be a Bechor, but the second wouldn't be, like we said before, it's possible for a first child to ruin it for the second, and there would be no Bechor at all. That's Rashi here seems to say. Rashi and Chulin seems to disagree. The Marit al-Ghazi, apparently is a bigger version, but which is, I guess, easier on the eyes. But if you look at the Marit al-Ghazi in the back, he has a huge discussion. His first discussion on the Perek is about this Rashi. It doesn't have to be only in a case where there are twins. Okay. Why would it have to be limited to twins? So I think it's possible that one could explain the following. And maybe the issue is, can you bypass Leda completely? In other words, when you have twins, I'm suggesting this, it's possible to say that even though normally, well, let me make it clear. If you look at the Gemara here on Mem Bav Mid Beis, right, the Gemara discusses this whole question of, you know, Yotza Rosho. The Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, let's read the Gemara quickly, Ena Rosh Potter B'Nefalim. Shmuel thinks in general that Rosh is not Potter B'Nefalim. If the head comes out first, even in Pidgin Aben, that wouldn't disqualify the next child, because we're talking about a Nefel, something which is not a Bar Kayon. It's a very fascinating idea. That's had it been a regular child, then the first, you know, one to be Motzi Rosho is definitely the first child in Pidgin Aben. But if it's talking about a Rosh of a Nefel, even if it's a Bar Kayam, even if it's Kayam, the Shas Shehotzi Rosho, but it's not Bar Kayama, it won't last. So Shmuel says, doesn't work. Why my time up? Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'apav. Kol Hechad Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'apav. Hu Dechashiv Reishe. Idech Lo Chashiv Reishe. By which I think he means, it's Exeris HaKasuv, but I think it means more than that. I think what it means is that that you don't look at the Rosh as a Rosh. It's a Chetz of Basar. Right? If the... Unless... That's what makes it qualitatively different, the Rosh and everything else, is the role that the Rosh plays in life. Right? I think it's the Pshat. So if you have a Nefel, or a Bala Bar Kayama, so Shmuel is saying, even though right now it's that's an interesting question, that you have this child, what do you say? It lived for a few minutes, or a few days, but it wasn't viable. So is the Rosh, in that case, considered a Rosh, or just a part of the Basar, in which case you should require Rov? I think that is the issue. So that's the pshat. I think that's the pshat, and I think it's fascinating we learned from the Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'apav. So Rashi explains the apav is significant in the context of Nishmas Ruach Apav, by which I'm saying it's not just Exeris HaKasuv. That's what makes the Rosh a Rosh. So what about a child that's alive but it's not viable? How do we look at the Rosh name? In any case, Kol Echad Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'apav. Hu dechashiv reishe, idech lo chashiv reishe. Then we're told tnan haba, but the Mishnah says haba achar nefalim shiatsa rosho chayu ben tisha shiatsa rosho meis ktani mir rosho my rosho. So the Gemara says my rosho rubo. It doesn't mean rosho; it means rubo. The Gemara says v'lisni rubo. If it meant rubo, not rosho, it should have said rubo. Normally, people should say what they think, right? So the Gemara says bedinu di boila misne rubo. I did combine the missing Seifa ben Tisha, Shiyatza Rosho Meis. Since I want to be a Madaik from the Seifa, the Seifa says that Yatza ben Tes, if it's fully formed and it's Yatza Rosho Meis, that also doesn't affect Nachala. Tama de Rosho Meis. They wanted to teach you, Rosho Chai, Haba Achrav Bechor, the Nachala, Nami Lohava. But if it was Rosho Chai and it was fully formed, so you should know that even Linya Nachala, since it's libo davalav, even though it wasn't the first one to be yotze rubo, it would still determine for bechor. That's why we're being told rosho rather than rubo. So the Gemara says tana reisha nami. Therefore, the whole Mishnah is talking about rosho, but really it means rubo. So then the Gemara says umay kamash malan. If that's the case, what's the chiddush? We know this halacha that yotza rosho is considered leida. The kivin the mapik le reisha have. Later, we know that halacha, tanina. But if the chiddush is to teach you mapik le'resha, have a later, we learned that. Where do we learn it? In chulin, in the context of shechita, as I mentioned before. If you have an animal which is pregnant, so if the vlad is not nolad in the interim, then it's included in the shechita sa'ein. So hotzi rosho, hava bishich zero, hareza ki yilud, needs a separate shechita. So we know this din already. The chitei mashminan, the hema, the kamashman, ba'adam, I'm not sure if I understand the anatomy here anyway, but the point is that one might have said that there's a difference between a behema and an adam in terms of the significance of Yetzias HaRosh. And behema ma'adam lo yolfe as well. Mishum dechashiv parts of ponim didei. When it comes to human beings, the parts of isn't just a chefta shel basar. Maybe it isn't, I don't know if the animal rights people would like hearing this, but that's the point, is that the Rosh and the parts of these things have qualitatively greater significance in man than they do in Behema. Maybe everything is Rov. He says, but even that Adami Tanino, we learned this in Adam, we learned this in Behema. Yatza Kadarko, Mishi Yatza Rov Rosho, is a Rov Rosho, Mishi Tetze Padchaso. So this we learned in the context of Tumas Leda and the Tchilas Minyan of Tahara. Demei Tawar, in the context of Adam. So we know this halacha. What's the point I'm trying to prove here? Tiyufta, the Shmuel, Tiyufta. So that's why we reject Shmuel's halacha, and we say it really means Rosho, not Ruba. The point is, this din of Leda, Al Yedei Rosh, that it's Shmuel Leda, isn't just a halacha in Petarechem. It's a din in Petarechem. It's a din in Shechita. It's a din in Korban Yoledes, and Dam Tohar. So the point is, why shouldn't it work in Nachla? So I think there are two ways to explain it. One is to say, one extreme would be to say, because Bechor L'Nachla can still, as long as it's Ein Libo Dava Alav, first one, can exist, even if there was a real Eidah. Right? In which case, the Chiddush of Bechor L'Nachla is greater. Or you could say, it's true that we always, L'inyan Shechita, L'inyan Yoledes, and L'inyan, certainly Pidgin Aben, it's true that Yetzias HaRosh is considered Leda. But, in the case of Tu'omim, we still look at it a little bit differently. In the case of Tu Iburim, so you have Leda, and that's the end of the story. The second child is La'achar Leda Rishona. That's Leda Shnia. In the case of Ta'omim, maybe you can see it more in more competitive terms. Maybe there are two Ledas, maybe there are two Leda Rishonas. Right? There's the qualitative Leda of Rosh, and then there's the quantitative Leda of Rov. As long as it's the same Ibor, maybe there are two persons live. There's the first Leda Rishona and there's the second Leda Rishona, if you will. Just that the Leda Rishona of Rosh, which is the first one, wins out. But we don't look at the second as a Leda Shnia. He's just not the first Leda Rishona. I don't mean it only in terms of semantics. Well, how can I say such a thing? Is there any room to say such a thing? So I think that that's what Tosa says, albeit, I admit, in a slightly different case. Let's just go on to the Gemara just for a little bit more. The Gemara says, Om Rab Shim Ben Lakish, Padachas, we had this Gemara before, Padachas Poteres B'chol Mako, Chutz Min HaNachla. If the forehead, right, is the only thing, but not the face that is Yotze, so that normally is Koveya regarding Leda, right? But it's not Koveya with regard to Nachala. So first of all, I think Reish Lakish, we don't paskin like Reish Lakish. We do not paskin like Reish Lakish. But Reish Lakish is very important. My taima, Yakir Amar Achmana. Meaning, no one's going to deny that Hilchos Leda, the Padachas, is Leda. Yet Reish Lakish is saying, there's a din of Yakir, just like what we were saying a minute ago about Rashis Ono, Shalibo, Dava. Now we don't paskin this way. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Afilu L'Nachala. Right? Now, we do paskin that it's Afilu L'Nachala, but it's very fascinating to note that the Rambam quotes this halacha with respect to a very particular halacha. He doesn't quote it per se. Where does he quote it? In Perek Beis, Hukos Nachlas, Halacha Beis. In a very particular context, which we'll appreciate more on Thursday, but we can already appreciate it a little bit. Bechor shenol lachar misas aviv. This is a Gemara in Baba Basra, Kuf Membeis. Let's say a Bechor is born after the father already died. It obviously can happen. Sad story. Father never sees his child. Ein anotel pishnayim. The din of bechor doesn't apply. We'll discuss this. Shenemar v'haya b'yom hanchilas banav. Ki asa bechor ben asnua yakir. It's a din of yakir. And he's not yakir. Bim yotzos pad chaso b'chayi aviv. Afa bishal yotzos kol rosho l'avir ha'olam. El achar misas aviv. Harez anotel pishnayim. So it's fascinating that the only time the Rambam quotes the din of padachas is in this context, to tell you that if the father's alive for the yitzias of padachas, that's enough of a yakir. Because we pass like a biochan and not rish lakish. Now I don't know that the Rambam, I assume the Rambam would also agree with the more basic halacha, which Rabbi Yochanan states, which is what if you have the yitzias padachas, and then you have another child who's yatza, you know, Rosho and Rubo, what else? So you have Tomin. Right? It's very possible the Rambam, undoubtedly the Rambam would agree with that halacha too. But it's fascinating that he quotes a dafka in this context, which is a yakir context. I'll explain more on Thursday what I mean. But okay. In any case, this is the din of padachas. But according to Reish Lakish, we don't paskin like, what I'm suggesting is that in a way there's an echo of Reish Lakish in the Rambam by applying it to this particular case. That you don't need Leda, or you have Leda, doesn't help you. Padachas isn't enough. Okay. So then the Gemara says, oh. So what is, according to Rabbi Yochanan,
by padachas, we mean just the forehead, or do we mean?
Just the forehead.
Rosh Rubo.
Just the forehead.
Rosho.
It means the forehead. The Metzach.
So it would not necessarily imply.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second. The Gemara discusses parts of it, the nose, and
thinking of the Ein Doch Nefesh Tachas Nefesh.
Right, I hear. No. Padachas here seems to mean for it. What the Maskanas we'll get to in a second. But yeah, I understand. Oh, so the Gemara says B'chol Mokom Li'suyemai Li'suyeh Hodetan Rabbanon Giyores Shiyatza Padachas Vlada B'yosa Nachris. We have a non-Jew. Right, and she's a Gioris, I'm sorry. When she was a non-Jew, the Padachas was Kvar Yatza. The Achakach Nizgaira, it's going to happen all the time. Okay. There she is in the middle of, you know, giving birth, you know, the Padachas pops out, and then she says, maybe I'll do the, you know, starts taking classes, you know. And, okay, so Biosa Nachav, the Achakach Nizgaira. Salach is Ein Nosnin La. Yemei Tumav, Yemei Tahara, Ve'ena Mevi'a, Karban Leida, because the Leida really took place B'Yitzias HaPadachas. So, okay, we'll stop here for a second, then the continuation is Yakir Zuakar. You know what? Maybe I should continue. Okay, wait a second. First, let me make this point. So Tosis here has an interesting Ha'ara. Tosis says, Vim Tomar, Lasuyemai, or Lasuyei, Vim Tomar, Ma Chidush Uzeh, B'Hach Milsa, Tzvei Mishar Dvarim D'Chashu Ben Kilud, Kegon Lizkok, Eishes Achav Le'Yibam. There's a Mishnah Nida. Mishnah Nida says, that's what Tos is quoting here, Mishnah Nida Mem Gimel Amid Beis, that says that Yitzias HaPadachas, put it this way, a child Ben Yomo, or Ben Rega, whatever it is, however that's defined, in this case we're saying it's Yitzias HaPadachas, is koveya with regard to, as long as it's, you know, it's kiyilud, legabe lizkoki eshes achiv v'yibum, v'lifter min ayibum, v'horeg chayiv, right, v'chiv misa, v'shar dvar mashnu yuperik yotze dofen. So what's the chiddush of telling you that when it comes to leidas anachri, as opposed to leidas Yisrael, regarding the question of tumas yoledas and karban? So Tosa is an amazing thing. The Nesavla Yimei Tumav Yimei Tahara. Tosa says, since it's the same child, so you might have thought that, yeah, it is Leda, but this is also Leda. Are two Leidos the same child? Mm. Right? Leida 1 and Leida 2. Now, again, Tosa says it as a Havamina, Tosa says it also in a very specific case, namely where there's also a transition between Kedushas to Kedushas Yisrael from being a goy. The truth is, I thought the whole question of Tosas is problematic to begin with. Just because we know that for Yisrael, Yitzias Padakas is considered Leda, and it affects all these dinim, does that mean that the definition of Leda for a non-Jew is the definition of the same exact definition? If you're talking about a real Leda, of course it is, but I mean, these are formal dinim. Like, what's considered a Leda? What's considered... Just like, I mean, you could have argued that it's necessary to tell us that the Yitzias Padakas is considered Leda, and especially that it's considered Leda when there's a transition to Kedushas Yisrael. That's kind of what Tosis really is saying. Tosis saying one might have thought, but Tosis doesn't even say then, as what Tosis would have said was, you know, Yitzias Padachas is normally Leda, but when you have, you know, Mavar from Nachri to Kedushas Yisrael, so then it's not. Tosis isn't saying exactly that either. Tosis is saying, there are two Ledas. There's a Leda Shalom B'Kedusha, there's a Leda B'Kedusha. Very B'Kiddush. What I'd like to say is as follows. Maybe the reason Rashi, getting back to the first point, what was our question? Rashi says that the case of the Achar Nefalim is a case of Ta'omim. And others disagree based on Rashi and Chulin and in general, even though it sounds a little bit like Rashi and Mishnah. And that is, why do you care? If the point is that Libo Dava is Koveya, so Yitzias Rosh, right? Even if it's a different child, a different ibur afterwards, it's a different pregnancy, and it's not ta'omim, the second one is the bechor. So maybe what Rashi's saying is something similar to what Tosis was saying here. And that is, except again, there are differences. A, it's a havamina. B, this is the transition from Kedushas, from Akum to Kedushas Yisrael. C, this is a case of one child that had two ledos. Right? It's a good trivia question also. It could be better or it could be worse in the case of Rashi, which is a case of Ta'omim. You have twins. So if it wasn't twins, then there's no question that Yitzias Arosh, no matter what, even in a Nefel, right, is considered a Leda. And the second one is that he's the second child. But if you have the Ta'omim anyway, there's like, you know, built-in, like it's, I always, you know, viewed as, by Yisrotz Alban and Bekirba, you know, you always think of Yaakov and Esav, you know, and, you know, you know, so anyways, it's ta'omim. Is it one birth? Is it two births? You know, so it's a different issue. So the question is: there's leida rishona, and there's leida rishona shniya. There's the leida, the quality. Again, if it was yitzias arosh, then yitzias arosh would be nothing to talk about. But you're talking about yitzias arosh, and then yitzias rubo, the qualitative leida and the quantitative leida, but of one pregnancy of ta'omim. So maybe Dafka there, Rashi holds, it's not Bechor L'Nachla. But had it been, but the din of Libo Dava, because Libo Dava gives you flexibility when there are two candidates. But when there aren't two candidates for the Leda, it's two different Ledos, that far you won't go. Which is why your question about Yotzei Dofen becomes important, because that's another example of it. So I'll look at that in just 1 second. Yeah?
Just to get to the actually fairly similar conclusion without having to redefine Leda and make comparison between Tosfos, you can say that as regards Bechor Liyim, Bechor L'Kohen, so obviously what matters there is the Leda, but to shift the emphasis for Bechor L'Nachla, for Bechor L'Av, right. So then the emphasis could be on the Hotzah Zera itself. And since in the case of twins, right, what we're dealing with is one Maisa Bia, one Hotzah Zera,
right.
So then we can relate to that as a unifying, and that could be Rashi's motivation, especially in light of the fact that...
Except that we won't deny that if it wasn't the Nefel, and there were two children, we wouldn't say that they're both Bechor, even though
like,
it's one Tipo.
Because like you say, it's within reason. I mean, Nebo Dabla.
Right. So I think you still have to say something like this, a little bit. But I agree with you, and we'll see in the second, back in the Mishnah, our time's almost up, but we're going to, we'll see in the second, back in the Mishnah, that it does depend on Horoso for the father,
right.
As opposed to Leda, which is more Petarechem, Pigeon of Ben idea. I'm just saying, but you still have to qualify by saying it isn't just the Zera, because the Zera in this case could be, again, looking at the Rashi, again, back to Yaakov and Esav, right? So the Rashi, again, based on Chazal, that, you know, Esav came out first, but that really shows that Yaakov is the real Bechor, you know, because, you know, the, what?
He was the first
birth. Exactly. So, right, we don't say that Linyan Bechor, that if that had been in the Halacha and Bechor, that would be sensational. We'd say, oh, he's the second one, is the Bechor Menachem, because he's the Zera. You know? So, but we don't say that. And if they're both viable, right, so then you'd see a Sarosh is going to be Kaveya too. We're just saying that Libo Dava, what I'm saying, therefore, is you have to say something like this, that there is a sort of a competition in the Ta'onim. I'm just using the other Tosas to show that, you know, that without denying that there's Leda, we can still say that there's, you know, two perspectives on Leda Rishona, in a way. Normally, when you have two, when you already have a Leda Rishona, the first Leda Rishona does it. What do you need the second Leda Rishona? You know, the quantitative versus the qualitative. That's how I'm formulating it, is quantitative and qualitative. You know, it's still chronologically the first. But when you have two candidates, and one is doesn't have a Libo Dava, you know, so that's, I'm still contrasting, that's as opposed to when you have two different Iburim, two pregnancies, right? And but you know, there's no competition. So that is Leda. Leda's Leda being, just because ain't Libo Dava, that's presumably Libo's not Dava for the dead child more or less because there's a Ta'om. I'm assuming that. I mean, that may be another way to say it, but I don't particularly like that. Maybe emotionally I don't like it, but I also think it doesn't make so much sense. So I think what does change between these two cases, if there's an Afkamina between them, and the truth is the Mishnah reads better according to Rashi. Just that the Svara is, if you're going to say Reishis Ono, Libo Dava, so, you know, and this, therefore you don't care about Leda, technically, so what difference does it make? So that's why I'm trying to construct a different structure, a different model, where there's more than one, where there's a competitive Leda Rishon. But your point is good about the Zera, just you have to think about that case.
I still don't understand why Yetzias Madachto by Israelis is considered Leda. And by
an
non-Israel,
it's not considered. It is. It's considered later
by both.
By both. No, Tosafos only saying what was the why do you think you have to tell us this halacha? It says lasuye mai. La halacha, we're saying padachas is kovea for Yisrael and for goy. But the Gemara wanted to know. So Tosafos said, but why does the Gemara think it's a bigger chiddush? After all, the din of leida, you know, applies to many dinim. So that's what Tosafos said. Because there's this transition from Nachri to Kedushas Yisrael, one would have thought, so, you know, we should then delay the definition. I'm just using that to show that there can be the more than one almost Leda Rishona in a way as well. Okay. Now, the case of... So basically what we have in trying to isolate where you don't need Leda at all is this issue of Ta'omim, maybe one issue. The second case is Padachas for Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish does agree that outside of Bechor L'Nachala, Padachas is Leda. And yet he's saying it's not a yakir, so Bechor L'Nachala is, even if it's the second, Leda. Right. The third issue may be the one that you mentioned, which is Yotze Dofen. Let's just look at that for a second. When did we start? I'm going already a long time. Okay, I'll stop in just 1 minute. Again, the Mishnah here says, so we'll save us time later. Yotze Dofen, Haba Achrav, in the middle of the Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Yotze Dofen Vaba Achrov Shneim Einan Bechar Lo L'Nachla V'Lo L'Kohen. So we paskin like the Tanakama that a Yotze Dofen, that a Yotze Dofen is not a pigeon a ben because it's not Petar Rachem. That we know, that we understand. In Nachla, it's more difficult to understand. What's the problem? Rav Shimon argues. Rav Shimon says Arishon L'Nachla V'Asheni L'Chamesh Loim, that the Yotze Dofen would be a Yoresh L'Nachla. So the question is as follows: what is this all about? So the Gemara says, "Rishon l'nachla lo," because v'yoldu lo be'inan, v'chame slaim nami lo, paterechem be'inan. Okay, sheni l'nachla lo, because reishis ono be'inan, v'chame slaim nami lo, kasavar b'chor l'davar acher lo haba b'chor. So it sounds like the Iman Damar, the Tanakama, is saying that that nachla also requires leida. It's not enough that he be Reishis Ono, because he is Reishis Ono, but he needs a Leda as well. Now, this is a little different than what we saw before. Before we were discussing whether or not a Leda Shnia, if we acknowledge that it's Leda Shnia and there was a Leda Rishona, can that still be Bechor? Here we're talking about something a little different. Do you need Leda at all? Can you have Reishis Ono without Leda? Not that there was a Leda Rishona, but it's not considered Leda, without the process of Leda. Okay. Then Rav Shimon Omer Harishon Menacha Vasheni Lachame Slaim. Rav Shimon Latame Damar Teleid Larabos Yotze Dofen with regard to Tumas Leida, right, and Dmei Tohar and Korban Yolades. Vasheni Lachame Slaim Kasavar Bechol Adover Echad Hava Bechor. That we'll get to when we get back to Pidgin Abed. But here there's a Machlokas Harishonim. I'm not going to go into detail now, and maybe we won't at all. We'll just, you can look it up. Rashi here interprets one way. Rashi says on the Gemara, and Tosus, if you look at Tosus, the Yoldalo Beinon, Tosus points out that that even in other contexts, one second, no, I'm sorry, Rishon, Mitoch Pirusha Kuntris, Mashma, Dimiloshon Leida, Gamar. That Yotze Dofen is a Chisaron in Leida. This is an important question generally. The Kasha, the Menida, Perak Yotze Dofen, Mefarish Dein Yoshvin Olav Yimei Tuma Vimei Tara, not because it's not Leda, but Bishum Dechsev Isha Kisad Zriya Viyolda Zachar Adjet Teled Mimakom Shemizaras Ava Miloshon Leda Lo Eli Yesh Lefarish Degomer Hacha Leda Leda Mehasam Rab Shimon Dehacha Letame Deomar Besamuch Demar Bihasam Yotze Dofen Biteled Yoshvin, etc. I don't want to go into so much detail, but the point is that if you look at this Tosis, Rashi Tosis, and then it's the Mefarshim of the Mishnayis, which is in the Yachad, you look at the Tosis Yom Tov, has, and the Rabbi Kiveger asks against the Tosis Yom Tov. There's a whole big discussion here on both Shitas, on the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Who's the Chiddush here? Is this really not Leida, and yet Rabbi Shimon is saying that it's a Bechor L'Nachla without Leida? Or it's even Leida Gemura, and the Chiddush is that in Bechor L'Nachla, not only do you need Leida, but you need the same kind of Leida that's Kobeya for Tumas Yoledes. Why should you even require that? And then Rav Shimon's not the Kiddush, the Chachamim are the Kiddush. So depending on these permutations, we again have the question, can you have Bechor L'Nachla bypassing Dinei Leida? Albeit it's a slightly different case. So you have Padachas to Omim Yitzhi Lachar Nefel and Yotze Dofen. These are the three issues. And so let's just finish a couple more lines in the Gemara and then we'll stop. But since we're already here, as we can finish the first time, it'll be a good thing to do because we want to move on as quickly as we can. So the Gemara says, where are we up to? Oh, this is very fascinating. Shaka Vitaria, the Gemara says, Mesve, Yakir, Zu Akaras Panim. Ezu Yakaras Panim. What is Akaras Panim? Partsuf Panim Imachotan. I guess part of the face, including the nose. Tani, so that we see from here that you need the parts of the chotem and padachas isn't enough. So the Gemara says, Tani ad chotem. That maybe the padachas that we're talking about before requires chotem as well. Toshma, ein midin ala parts of panim ima chotem. This is very fascinating. This is already a sugya of Misa Sabal. That's if you have a body and you discover the dead body, can the wife get remarried or not? So we're being told the ein medidim ala parts of panim imachotem, that for the purpose of identification, the medical examiner, you know, the coroner has to be able to testify about parts of panim imachotem. So we see again that parts of panim imachotem is required, not just padachas. This of course is fascinating because what does this have to? It's one thing to talk about shchita or to talk about Tumas Leida, or even to talk about Petar Rechem for Bechor L'Nachla, which are issues of Leida. This has nothing to do with Leida. This is a fascinating idea in the Gemara that the Leida is defined by what is quintessential, what is really defining in the identification of man. So defining him, you know, in terms of identifying him as a body for purposes of Raya, Nahavamina the Gemara, is the same as what defines him as Leida, halachic definition. So the Gemara says, Tani arachotem. The Gemara says, Toshma, padachas, parts of panim below padachas, ein meidin, achu, shneim, you need imachotem. You need chotem, padachas, and parts of panim. From Rabbi, Vitem Rav Kahana, Mikra, hakars pneim on sabam. So finally, the Gemara says, Shaini edas isha dachmir barabana. Then identifying for purposes of Misabal is not the same as the definition for Leida or Bechor. Because that's a din in Raya. And not only that, but we're Mekel, actually, when it comes to that halach. The Gemara says, we're Machmir, rather. And that's why we require more. The Gemara says, Miachmiru. Hatzanan, the Mishnah says, Nivamu said, we're Mekel when it comes to Misabal. Huxakulios Masim Aid Mipiaid, Mipisha, Mipieved, Mipishivcha, anybody who testifies, even if it's hearsay or a non kosher aid generally, works for Misabal. So the Gemara says, Ki Akil Rabbanan Besofa, Bitchilasa lo Akil Rabbanan. Because we're machmir on the quality of the identification, therefore we can be makil on the way that that identification is transmitted to Bezdin. So you can get aid Mipiaid, but the quality of the identification, as opposed to the messenger, the transmission of it, has to be of quality. Ibai seima, yakir l'chud, v'hakaras panim l'chud. Okay, we'll stop here for the moment. So far what we've done, in addition to the Akdama, is to see that some of the differences between pidyon l'kohen and b'chor l'nachla go to the question that you do need or don't need Leda. We'll also examine the other side about Peter Rechem's role, or whether it's just also Shir and Leda for Pidgin Aben. And then we still have some of the issues that Tosas brings up here and here. We'll continue with that, and also the Sugyas in Bava Basra for Thursday.
Regarding the Rebbe Gehalak about the father-son relationship.
Yeah, which I'm going to, that'll be expanded on.
Right. So I seen the Rebbe was being noted a little bit towards the legacy of the father, perhaps his own personal legacy. I don't know if that was.
I'm not sure, as opposed to what.
Well, I was thinking that perhaps it was the father's role in the creation.
The family.
Well,
oh.
Maybe even
oh,
broader.
Oh, in creation?
In creation. And
that I don't see so much, because I don't see why that. Because I'm going to put it this way. What I'm going to try to do is a little ambitious. I'm going to try to explain what Matanakaya Rachmana means and why Ein B'chor Nolta B'roika B'mochsa. Basically, what I'm going to try to explain is that you freeze it by the father's death, too. And because of that, I think it has to do with the ongoing, what should be the connection.
Yeah, it's Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, the brisk rabbi Reish Lakish, that point where the beginning of